This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are visiting with, once again, Dr. Kenneth Anderson, the director and founder of Anderson Center for Hair in Atlanta, Georgia. He is here to speak with us specifically about non-surgical hair restoration options such as vampire hair restoration, PRP, and low-level laser therapy. Dr. Anderson, always great to have you with us on the program.
Thank you, Eric. How are you doing today? It's great to be back.
Doing well over here, and certainly always good to have you each and every time, always informational. So for starters, Dr. Anderson, what are the different options for non-surgical hair restoration?
Well, that's a great question. As I tell my patients that I consult with every day, there's really never been a better time to have hair loss. Now, that may sound like a silly statement, but truthfully, I've been in the field of hair restoration surgery for 15 years, and there's just new technologies coming out seemingly every year. For patients who are perhaps not ready for a surgery, patients who have hair loss, who are suffering with hair loss, both men and women, and we're talking about the general normal male pattern baldness that can affect men as young as 15 or 18 years of age, but typically manifests sometime in the 20s and 30s. And we're talking about female pattern loss, the type of hair loss that typically occurs around 45, 55 years of age and tends to be more of a diffuse thinning across the top, very stressful for both men and women. The options generally, there are three major options that we're going to be talking about today. They're all non-surgical. They don't involve any scalpels. There's no stitches. There's no scarring. It's more of a stimulatory effect that we're trying to have on the weakened hair and hair follicles. And the main things we're going to be covering today are PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. We're also going to be covering low-level laser therapy. And we're also going to talk about vampire hair restoration, which are kind of related to the PRP, as we'll talk about, but they're three very effective methods of both stopping genetic hair loss and, in some cases, reversing it.
Now, speaking of vampire hair restoration, what are the elements of vampire hair restoration, and where did the name actually come from?
Well, the name vampire hair restoration is kind of from the vampire facelifts that have been in the news and in the tabloids for the past eight years or so. Kim Kardashian really popularized the term when she went to see Dr. Charles Runnels, a friend and colleague of mine. He's a specialist in regenerative medicine and was the first, to my knowledge, to popularize the use of what's called platelet-rich plasma on the face. He combines that with a type of therapy called microneedling, and that gives a tightening effect and smoothing effect to the skin of the face. We have adopted this technology and these techniques for the treatment of hair loss. And what it involves is essentially just the same thing that a vampire facelift involves. It's the platelet-rich plasma that's introduced into the scalp, right where the stem cells are for your hair. And we combine that with some microneedling. And this microneedling can be done by a number of devices, but essentially these tiny little needles go in and make micro perforations on the scalp. We only go down about 0.4 millimeters, so it's very superficial. But these little wee superficial perforations allow for some of this the PRP that we put on the scalp and the growth factors that we put on the scalp to sort of get into the dermis and down to the level of the hairs a little bit more effectively. We combine these two, the platelet-rich plasma and the microneedling technologies together, and call that a vampire hair restoration. And a lot of our patients, especially the ladies who are perhaps not quite, you know, don't have quite enough hair loss for actual surgery, sometimes this can help them thicken up their hair in the areas that are starting to thin.
Of course, from your experience, what makes a patient a better candidate for a non-surgical hair restoration versus surgical hair restoration, and is one more effective than the other?
That's a great question, Eric. Let me answer your second question first. Is one more effective than the other? Well, if we think about it, we're talking about two things, really. The phenomenon of hair loss and its result, and I'll call its result scalp show. You know, we can see the scalp, but we're not desiring to see it. The fact that we can, you know, if you've got a bald spot on the back of your head, on your crown area, that's not hair loss per se. That's the result of hair loss. After hair loss has occurred, now we can see your scalp, so we'll call that scalp show. The surgery, the hair restoration surgery, is, at least at my clinic, guaranteed to put hair where it's intended to be placed. You're literally moving permanent hair from the permanent zones on the back and sides of the head, physically and surgically transplanting that hair to the areas of need. And that works well because the hairs don't know they've been moved. They continue to grow in the new location as if they were still in the permanent zone. So that's guaranteed to address the scalp show. What caused the scalp show, though, hair loss itself, hair loss is unaffected in terms of its progression with a surgery. You can get a surgery, it is not going to stop the hair loss. A lot of people are disappointed to find that out. They come to my clinic and they think, you know, I run a hair restoration surgery center. It's all we do. And so they are under the impression that they're going to get the surgery and kind of check that box off and move on with life with a full head of hair, worry-free. Well, hair loss is a lot like dental decay. And patients often look at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, it's very similar in that there's no known cure for either phenomenon. Technically, they're both incurable. And they're both progressive in nature. I mean, if you don't brush your teeth, the cavities aren't going to come and go. They're going to come and then get worse and worse and worse. And that's how hair loss works. There's no known cure for hair loss technically. And it just is a progressive phenomenon. If you combine that fact with the fact that hair restoration is just merely a redistribution of whatever's left, you can quickly see that it's important to save the hair on your head. It's not a good, you know, it doesn't make sense to, you know, let it all fall out and then go ask a surgeon to try to recreate what you once had, because often that's impossible. When you start to notice the first signs of hair loss, that's the time you want to address it. Because the decisions you make when you first notice hair loss can help you out 10, 20, and 30 years down the line. So it's, you know, non-surgical hair restoration, what I'm expecting from it is more of a spectrum of effects. You know, it's not the same for everybody. There's no cure for hair loss. So if we think about a bell curve, a probability of distribution, you know, some people are going to be on the left side there, and unfortunately, despite all of our non-surgical attempts to stop the hair loss, they're going to continue to lose hair. That's a small minority of patients. The majority of patients that, you know, undergo a PRP procedure or a vampire hair restoration or engage in the low-level laser therapy, they're going to notice their rate of hair loss dramatically slow down or appear to stop. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's going to be a decent percentage of patients who are going to actually reverse the process and literally grow hair. And so, you know, the people who want to stop their hair loss are great candidates for non-surgical hair restoration, because at a minimum, as mentioned, I'm trying to stop that loss. If they want to, you know, actually put hair back where it's needed and not, you know, wait to find out if it's going to work for them, then we would step to a surgery. But it's really for patients who maybe have early hair loss. Sometimes the patients are 18, 22, 23 years of age. I'm talking men typically. That's just too young for a surgery. So, you know, I want to gather data on that patient, and data in the form of serial photographs. Every time I see these patients, no matter what treatment we're doing, I take a standardized set of photographs so we can follow along to make sure that we're headed in the right direction. And then females who are just starting to, you know, maybe thin out on top, who are maybe around 50 years of age, you know, typically female pattern loss manifests right around the time menopause does. They would be great candidates for a non-surgical hair restoration as well.
And thanks so much for covering that thoroughly. Well stated and well done today. We are with Dr. Kenneth Anderson, the director and founder of Anderson Center for Hair in Atlanta, Georgia. Once again, here on eHealth Radio's Hair Loss Prevention and Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Anderson, what is the recovery process like for these procedures? Are there any side effects or complications?
Okay, well, let's start with the low-level laser therapy. Then we'll get to the other two, because the low-level laser therapy is a non-surgical treatment that patients can do at home. There are different laser devices, and essentially it's a little bit of a like a hat, a dome hat, and some of the, you know, with just about 300 little red laser diodes in there. What that does is essentially it sends your hair follicles to the gym for a workout. Our body is very good at absorbing red light and converting that to energy. And so red laser like that is. And so what we do is really, if you wear the cap 3 times a week for just 30 minutes, it's a passive therapy. You don't have to do anything. You kind of just put the cap on and click a button. I call it my blogging helmet. Of course, all the therapies we're talking about, I engage in personally because I'm trying to stop my hair loss, and it's working quite well. So I use my laser cap 3 times a week, 30 minutes a session, and I call it my blogging helmet. You know, I answer patient questions online. So it's a really, if you have a half-hour commute anywhere, that's an easy time to use it. We've known for a long time that low-level laser energy in the red and near-infrared spectrum is very stimulatory to all human skin, including the hair follicles. And so it's a newer type of technology, but it is most definitely FDA approved. It's been around for about 12, 13 years or so, and is definitely increasing in popularity. If we move along to the platelet-rich plasma, and if you add the microneedling, we call it a vampire hair restoration. Really, that's just we take a little bit of your blood, 22 cc's. Your blood contains platelets. Platelets are the cells that orchestrate and quarterback the human body's tissue rejuvenation and healing systems. When you even get a little paper cut, the platelets go to work and they release all their growth factors and growth and little what we call cytokines. And they are direct the body to repair and rejuvenate the cut or any little injury. So what we do is we take a little bit of your blood, 22 cc's, not a lot. When you go to the Red Cross, that's 500 cc's. So we just take 22, and we put it in the centrifuge, and it separates the blood out into its component cells. And then we take a little portion that has the platelets. And, we basically get about 6 cc's of the platelet-rich plasma, which has 2 to 4 times the concentration of platelets as normal, as typical blood. And then we reintroduce that into the scalp, right at the level of where the stem cells are at. The platelets then release their growth factors, and it's thought that they stimulate the stem cells to make bigger, better, and thicker hairs. The procedure takes about an hour. It's about as intense as having your teeth cleaned at the dentist. And we're having real nice success in able to, to grow. Again, some patients grow some hair. The majority of them witness their hair loss progression stop. The recovery, it might be sore on your scalp for up to 24 hours, and there conceivably could be a tiny bit of swelling, but really it's a very minor procedure, and there really is no recovery to speak of. I don't have my patients, you can go to the gym right afterwards if you like. In terms of side effects or complications, well, you might have more hair in your head, so that's a good thing. But in terms of side effects or complications, because it's your own platelets that right now are circulating through your body, we just take them in sterile fashion, of course. We take just a little bit of blood, isolate the platelets, and then we're reintroducing your own platelets. So, there, allergic reactions are not going to occur. I suppose there's an outside chance of an infection, but the scalp is very vascular, and when done using clean techniques, that's going to be a distinctly rare issue. So aside from that, it's about as intense as having your teeth cleaned. So there's really not a lot of medical issues there.
And thanks for clarifying that in all regards on the recovery process. In conclusion, what are some future advancements for non-surgical hair restoration?
Well, people people ask me that quite often. What's the next thing in hair restoration? A lot of people assume it's cloning. You know, I don't think so. I think we're a long way off, at least 10 or 15, maybe 20 years off from cloning hair and making it commercially available. The next thing to come, I believe, is cellular medicine or regenerative medicine. In my own clinic, we're starting clinical trials this fall using amniotic fluid and other tissues from childbirth with all of their growth factors to try to enhance hair growth non-surgically. And I know there's a lot of study into looking at cellular medicine and ways to stimulate the stem cells to produce more hair, because as it turns out that even the little miniaturized hairs have the same number of stem cells in that little wee follicle as the large terminal hairs on the rest of our scalp. So we're looking for ways to stimulate those hair follicles to make bigger and better hairs once again.
Dr. Anderson, always informative, always great to have you. Very helpful information each and every time. Where can listeners get further details and information on Anderson Center for Hair in Atlanta?
Well, they could go to our website, which is www.atlantahairsurgeon.com, or they can give us a call at 404-256-HAIR. That's 404-256-4247. Appointments are complimentary, and you'll always meet personally with me.
Well, you can't beat that. Again, Dr. Anderson, it has been our pleasure, and certainly look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Have a good evening.
Eric, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be here.
And thank you. It's been our pleasure. We've been speaking with Dr. Kenneth Anderson, director and founder of Anderson Center for Hair in Atlanta, Georgia. And for all the details, visit AtlantaHairSurgeon.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.